and certainly to be thankful for those that have served our country, that many have given that ultimate sacrifice of their life. And so we certainly do need to remember and be thankful for all that the Lord has done for us. We're here this morning with ability to sit behind doors that are not guarded and doors that are not locked. We're able to sit here this morning in security, and because someone gave and given of their time and their talents, and many times even their own lives. I was watching this morning as the president was about to make a speech there in France at a cemetery that had 1,500 crosses there, 1,500 graves of Americans that had died on the soil there in that country, and many other places also that have even more than that. And I'm glad this morning that we have a time that we can honor and we can be thankful and be grateful to the Lord that we have people that have been willing to do, willing to go, willing to give. It's an amazing thing, as long as America has been a country, it's an amazing thing we don't have cemeteries on our land from other places. But God has given us ability and has protected us, and we've never had to defend our own country from others like the world wars. And I learned this morning, did not realize, today is the 100th anniversary of the armistice of World War I, and 100 years ago today they signed the peace treaty. And so been a lot of battles fought. And I was just thinking back in World War I, back in the 19-teens, 17, 18, somewhere through there, just less than 30 years would pass, they'd be in World War II. And a few years pass, you're in Korea. A few years pass, you're in Vietnam. A few years past that, Afghanistan. So this world is a troubled world. This world is a world that's full of darkness and blindness. And I'm glad that we have been able to protect our land. I fear for our land today. I fear if it ever came up again, would we have the ability, would we have the desire to go fight a battle like those fought in World War I, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, those large battles. I wonder if we'd have the manpower to do that. And so I pray that would never happen again, but we never know what may take place. And so thank God for America, and thank the Lord for the freedom we have to be able to stand and proclaim the gospel, the Word of God, in so many areas that it is not free to do that. So if you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter number 10. In Mark chapter number 10, we really are, going to sort of continue on with the thought of our Sunday school lesson. In Sunday school this morning, in John chapter 9, there's a man that had been born blind that the Lord gave him his sight. And I guess of all the scriptures that are given to us about blindness in the Bible, John chapter 9 is one of my favorite because of the testimony of that man that was born blind. They began to question him and want to know who did this, and he told them. They want to know where Jesus was. He said, I don't know where he is. And they began to question him, as even to his telling the truth. As Brother Larry pointed out this morning, they even called his parents in to witness concerning that. And they were a little fearful because the rule was, if they give any recognition that Jesus is the Son of God, you'd be taken and thrown out of the synagogue. And so they said, you just ask our son. He is of age. And he makes, to me, one of the greatest statements of all the Word of God. They wanted to know who he was and all the details. He said, in essence, he said, I don't know a whole lot of things. He said, but I do know one thing. I was blind, and now I see. We may not have all the ins and outs and all the details, but I'm glad this morning I can make that same statement. I was blind, but now I see. In Mark chapter number 10, and it's repeated in some other Gospels, also in Luke and in Matthew. Each one of those accounts are a little different. In Matthew, it tells us there's two men. And, of course, the critics have always tried to say there's a discrepancy in the Scripture because the other two places calls the man's name Bartimaeus, and Matthew just says there was two. It's very clear there probably were two, but Bartimaeus was the spokesman, and he's the one that cried out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me, and we'll read that. But in Matthew, it says they both followed the Lord. And anytime you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, he does a work in your heart. Guess what? You're going to follow the Lord. You're going to have a new direction, a new way. And so this morning I want to read in Mark chapter number 10. And we'll begin reading in verse number 46 and read down through the rest of the chapter. And this is the account of where Bartimaeus receives his sight. We call him blind Bartimaeus. I'm not sure that is a correct way of addressing him, because when he left there, he was no longer blind. That'd be sort of like us saying lost Larry or lost Lawrence or lost, you put your name there. That may be the way we come to the Lord, but that's not the way we leave from the Lord when we meet him and fall in love with Christ. But this man named Bartimaeus we'll read about, and in verse number 46 we began. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried, the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I like these next words. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou have that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Blindness in the Scripture almost always has been an illustration and a story that shows the need that people have physically, and then makes an application that it is the same need that people have spiritually. We are born in sin, so therefore the Lord uses the categorization of blindness to show us that we can't get along without somebody coming by to help us. We find that when the Lord talks about a physical blindness, there's times that he speaks and they have their sight, as was with Bartimaeus and I believe the other man that was with him. There are times when the Lord would, as we said it in our Sunday school class, that he would make a clay out of the dust of the earth from his spittle and apply it to the eyes and tell him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he went and washed, he came back seeing. Now, the Lord could have done it either way. He could have spoke to him, but there's a reason The Lord does things differently because all of us are different. This morning, I'm sure very few of us have the same testimony as to the place of our salvation. Very few of us will be able to come together and have the same testimony of salvation, but it doesn't mean that we're not saved. And so here we have the account, this story of Bartimaeus that is classified here as blind. The scripture relates to us that he is blind. He's called here blind Bartimaeus. But as I mentioned earlier, when he leaves the Lord, he's not blind any longer. He has his sight, and thank the Lord for that. And I think the story of Bartimaeus is one of the most interesting of the stories, that how the Lord deals and how the Lord uses the situation that's before him to give glory unto the Lord. This morning in Sunday school, the people wanted to ask the Lord that about that man that was born blind. Was it because of his sin, or was it because of the sin of his father and his mother? And he said, no, it's not either one. It's the reason he's born blind is because the glory of God would be manifested. And so these things are given to us that we can see the glory of the Lord and the power of God being demonstrated in the lives of individuals. He could not see. He was blind. There was no sense of direction. There was no sensation of light. He was blind. But he had senses. If you've ever been around blind people, you realize their other senses become very alert and become very active. And I could talk an hour about Brother Steve Allen and the senses that he had. Even though he could not see, he could see more than I could. And he had the ability to do things more than I could even think about doing. So this man that was blind, he still had his understanding about him. He still had his senses about him. And he is sitting there in Jericho, and as the Lord is departing out of Jericho, he hears this crowd, and he begins to make mention as to what it was, and they said, well, it's Jesus. And then he begins to cry out, have mercy on me. We find in this story that Bartimaeus had a great need, had a need that nobody could take care of except God himself. Nobody could speak to him and say, receive your sight. Nobody could do anything for him because he had sat at the side of the road on the city of Jericho. He had sat there year after year begging just to survive, just to get enough for today, just to get enough to eat, get enough to be able to take care of himself. And when the day is over, he goes back out there tomorrow and he does the same thing. But this day is going to be different for him because somebody's coming by that had never come by him before. And he had heard about him because he began to cry out to the Lord. When he heard who it was, he began to recognize immediately, thou son of David. He had heard the stories. He wasn't deaf. He just couldn't see. He had heard the commotion. He had heard the stories of different people talking about that man called Jesus. And when he finds out that Jesus is coming by, he begins to cry out for him. He was in great need. And I believe he realized that if there's any possibility, if there's any way that I could ever see, here's my chance. And I want us to think this morning on this man, Bartimaeus, taking his last chance. This is the last opportunity that he would ever have to hear or to come in contact with Jesus Christ. For this is the last trip that Jesus makes to Jericho. This is the last time that he goes through that city that is very prominent in the scripture. You can go back into the Old Testament. You'll find Jericho mentioned time and time again. Over, I believe it's about 53 times that Jericho is mentioned in the Old Testament, 6 or 7 times in the New Testament that Jericho is mentioned. And there's another great incident that happened on the Jericho Road. That's where the thieves came by and left that man for half dead, and Jesus passed by there and took care of him. And so Jericho is a place where the Lord had gone a number of times, but this is the last time. He's not going to go back in there. He's not going to go back to that city. He's going to be occupied doing other being in other places and doing other things. And so this is the last trip that Jesus makes through Jericho, and Bartimaeus uses his last chance. I think I've maybe seen some people and known some people that have had opportunity after opportunity, and yet they shun it off. But somewhere down the line, there's going to be that last opportunity. Somewhere down the period of time, whether it be days, weeks, months, or years, there's going to be a last time that we have. There's going to be a last time that lost people have to hear the gospel. There's going to be a last chance that a Christian can have to really get dedicated and serve the Lord. And so he is a man that is in great need, but there's always that crowd. There's always the wicked one that comes along and those that's influenced by the wicked one. And the Bible says in verse number 48 that many charged him that he should hold his peace. Here's a man blind. He's crying out for the Lord. And here's a group that comes along and says, "Now, Bartimaeus, you don't need to be so fanatical on this. Bartimaeus, you don't need to be so loud. Bartimaeus, you don't need to make such a show. You just need to calm it down just a little bit." But he cried the more, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." When you realize you're in a need, when you realize that there's nobody else that can take care of that need, it doesn't matter what the crowd says. It doesn't matter what the family says. It doesn't matter what friends say. When we realize we need a need that comes only from God, we're going to cry out to the Lord. And that's exactly what this blind man did. Thank God, not only was he in need, and they're standing in the way, and he cries out, "Father," but thank God there's one there to save, and his name's Jesus. I've used that little old three-point outline a number of times, but it's right here in these verses. There's one standing in need. There's some standing in the way, but thank God there's one standing to save. And so we have the story unfold before us, and Bartimaeus in verse number 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry. He sensed the need that he had. He needed sight. He needed his eyes to be opened, and he was interested really in physical sight. He was interested in what he needed right at that moment. He was interested that he would be able to go about his daily business and not have to be led around by someone. He was interested not to have to sit on the side of the road every day just to beg bread and to beg a few meager pence and a few coins that he could get by one day at a time, but he's interested that he might be able to see. And the scripture tells us that this man was a man that was blind, and he heard that Jesus was coming by, and so he sensed the need that could be fulfilled by this man that he's heard about. Never met the Lord, never seen the Lord with his senses. He's never talked to the Lord, but as I said a while ago, I'm sure he'd heard about, because the news of the Lord's ministry spread abroad. He had thousands that would follow him. You have the feeding of the 5,000, which was probably the feeding of the 10 or 12,000, because it was 5,000 men. You have the feeding of the 4,000 that probably could be 8 or 10,000. And so multitudes were following the Lord. And there was times that Jesus would go to the mountain just to get away from the crowds for just a little while and trying to have some time. And here would come the crowd again. The crowds would be so strong and so large that sometimes the Lord would get in a ship and he would go out into the Sea of Galilee and anchor down, and he would speak from that makeshift podium, and he'd speak to the crowds that were on the seashore. And so Bartimaeus had heard about the fame of Jesus Christ. "I've got a need. I hear that he's healing people of sickness. I even hear that he's raised people from the dead, and surely he'll not take note of me." And he begins to cry out to the Lord. He needed sight, but he needed more than that. as the illustration, as this story goes, he needed salvation. Not only was his eyes darkened, but his heart was darkened because he's born in sin, just like you and I. When we come into the world, we came to the world lost and undone. Of course, we come in innocency as a child, and we are not accountable for those things as a child. But as we grow and learn, all of a sudden our senses come to understanding that I've got a great need. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. That may happen at different times. Somebody says, what is the age of accountability? The moment we understand that we need the Lord. It doesn't give us an age. A lot of people want to say it's 12 years old. I'm glad it's not that, because I was 8 years old. And so when we come to the understanding that we need the Lord, that's our accountability to God. That's when we begin to understand that I'm guilty, I need the Lord. And so Bartimaeus, he knew he was blind, that he needed the Lord, but he also, his heart was darkened, and that heart needed to be lifted. That heart needed to be brought to life and to have salvation. He sensed that need when he began to cry out for the Lord, because he seized that opportunity. He wasn't going to let the Lord go by. Bartimaeus didn't know this was the last time. The disciples probably didn't know this was the last time. Certainly the crowd didn't know it was the last time the Lord would go through there, but Bartimaeus said, he's here now, and I need to take care of this opportunity right now. That's why it's so very important when people hear the gospel, they need to respond to that, because there may not be another opportunity. The Lord doesn't owe us another opportunity. The Lord doesn't owe us any opportunity, but thank God, through his grace and mercy, he gives us time and chance, opportunity, as the scripture says, that we can call upon his name and become a Christian. And a lot of people seize that opportunity like Bartimaeus did, and a lot of people reject it. A lot of people turn away from it. A lot of people go the wrong direction, and then next thing you hear is that something's happened. They're in eternity. Bartimaeus understood that he needed something from the Lord that only he could have from God. He took this opportunity, he began to cry out. He began to call out unto the Lord. He began to say these words, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." The Bible says in Luke chapter number 18, this account in Luke, it says, "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked, what does it mean? Why all the commotion? Why all the crowd rustle? Why all the talk? And why are there so many more on this road than normally is?" And they told him that Jesus passed by, and he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy." He seized the time. He took the opportunity that God gave him, and he cried out unto the Lord. I'm glad one day I did that. I'm glad one day that I seized my opportunity. Somebody say, "Oh, if you hadn't been saved then, you might have been saved some other time." Yeah, but it might not have too. We don't know those things. When God speaks to our heart, I believe that we are accountable to him now, and he doesn't have to come back. And just because you hear the gospel over and over and over again, you don't choose the day you get saved. You may know the Bible better than the preacher does in a lot of areas, and you may can quote more scriptures, but that doesn't mean that you can choose the time you come to know Christ. We get saved when the Spirit of God pricks our heart and convicts us of our sin, and we turn to him. We seize the time. We seize the opportunity that is there, and we cry out, "Have mercy on me." This is a great story concerning salvation. Thou son of David. He knew who he was. Now, Jesus, as far as is told to us in the scripture, other places, there are those that said, "Why, isn't this Joseph the carpenter's son?" Well, Bartimaeus knew that he wasn't Joseph's son. Bartimaeus knew that he was the son of David. He knew enough about the scripture. He'd heard enough about the things of what we call the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, Jesus is he's fulfilling those things that the prophet Isaiah said about him. And he says, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." So he surrendered his faith and surrendered himself. He seized his opportunity. And in verse number 50 it says, and he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. I believe that casting away of his garment is a type of surrendering his life. The old things, the old thing that he had, the garment that he had on, he threw it aside and began making his way to the Lord Jesus Christ. He cast that away in typology as we have our sins put into the depths of the sea. The garment was a type of his old nature, his old sin. He cast it aside and he comes to the Lord, and we know the rest of the story. In verse number 51, the scripture says, and Jesus answered and said unto him. Somebody says, why did the Lord ask Bartimaeus this question? For two reasons, the Lord should not have asked him that, humanly speaking. The Lord knew he was blind, and so why ask him, why are you coming? The Lord knew why he was coming, because he was God. But he asked this simple question to this blind man, and in my mind's eye, I wonder how he made it to the Lord. I wonder how he got through the crowd. Did he have someone taking him, carrying him on the side of the arm, as you do folks that are blind? Was he on someone's side, say, take me to Christ? I don't know how he got there, but I sort of look at it in my mind that here he is sitting on the way, the highway side. The crowd is rustling by, and he hears that Jesus is there. He throws off his coat, and he just begins to make his way to the Lord, pushing away and not being able to see where he's going, but he knew he could hear. And he made his way to the Lord. And the Bible says says here in verse 51 that when he got there, Jesus said, what will thou that I do unto thee? What do you want, Bartimaeus? What do you long for? What's the desire of your heart for me to do for you? What a provoking question here that the Lord asked him. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? We would say it like this. Bartimaeus, what do you want from me? Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Well, you're blind. What do you want? And Bartimaeus, understanding and knowing that he was the son of David, he longed for his help. He longed for the Lord to help him that was helpless. I believe he longed for the Lord to give him hope that was hopeless. Can you imagine sitting? That's not like Highway 41 or our roads. The road to the Jericho Road was a road well traveled. But much that traveled to the Jericho Road was thieves and robbers. It wasn't like what we would maybe think. But this day, it's different. There's a whole crowd. It's not just one passing by every once in a while. It's not one or two coming by every hour. But he hears the rustle of the feet. He hears the sound of the voices. And he says, what's going on? So he comes to the Lord and he desires that the Lord help him. And he was hopeless without any way of getting help except from Jesus Christ. What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? I believe he longed for healing. He longed for his sight. He tells him that. Health. And in the depths of his heart, he found out he longed for heaven. So the Lord says, what do you want? What wilt thou that I do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He didn't ask him to fill his bag that the coins maybe were dropped in. He didn't ask the Lord to help him with 5 loaves and 2 fishes that maybe he had heard about. He just said, Lord, that I may see my sight. Lord, I desire to see. I desire to no longer be helpless in this world. I desire to no longer be hopeless. I desire for good health. I desire that I would be able to see. And I believe he believed the Lord could do that for him. Because we experience things from Christ because we have faith. And he just simply said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. I want to see. I want to be able to see the stars at night. Not only feel the rays from the sun, but I want to see the sun. I want to see the trees. I want to see the flowers. I just want to see. You see, whatever our great need is in our life, that's what we desire to be fulfilled. And when we hear the gospel, we find out the greatest need that we have is a spiritual need that only Christ can fulfill. And you and I, one day, we were sitting on the spiritual road that we were begging. We had no way. We had no help. We had no one. As that man that lay there at the pool of Bethesda, and he said, every time the water stirred, I can't make it in because there's nobody to help me. There's no one that can take care of me. There's no one that will get me into the water. Bartimaeus says, I can't do it myself. I need the Son of David. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need the Savior. So he cries out to the Lord, and the Lord asks him a pointed question. What do you want? He gives him a clear-cut answer. I want to see. Thank God for the blessing that the Lord gave unto him. He says here that in verse number 52, Jesus said, go thy way. Well, I'm glad it doesn't stop there. I'm glad that's not the last of that verse, go thy way. That means I don't have time for you. Bartimaeus, just go on. Now, that's what the disciples would say. They said it over and over again. That's what the crowd said. Just be quiet. But Jesus tells him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, Bartimaeus believed that when he asked the Lord for sight, Bartimaeus believed in his heart that God would give him sight. When we ask the Lord for salvation, when we call upon the Lord and recognize the need that we have, and in faith believing, we believe God's going to save us. And guess what? We can go our way, and we are a new creature in the Lord. Old things immediately pass away, and behold, all things become new. And the Bible says, Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Thank God for immediate salvation. Just get me away from this crowd that says you're saved a little bit at a time. You're not saved a little bit here and a little bit there. You're saved. You're not saved a 10% today and a down payment and 25% tomorrow. And somewhere down the line, you'll realize that you're a Christian. Oh, no. When the Lord comes by, you have sight. He could see immediately. He didn't have a film on his eyes. He didn't have a shadow that he just saw, but he could see. When I got saved, when you got saved, buddy, we got it all when we trusted the Lord. Immediately, he saves us and makes us a new creature. The Bible says here that the Lord says, your faith has made thee whole. Immediately, he received his sight. And I like the last part of that verse, and followed Jesus in the way. Now, notice Jesus said, go thy way. But the Bible says he followed in the way. He didn't go anywhere. You know where he stayed? He stayed right there by the Lord. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He followed the peace that had come into his heart. Bartimaeus was a man. Before he met the Lord, he still could see, even though he could not see. He could see that he had a great need. He could see that he had no hope. He understood that without something spectacular happening to him, a miracle coming along his way, that he would stay in the condition he was in until he died. He understood that. But he had heard the stories. And he said, boy, if I ever can get to Jesus, he'll make a difference. Well, he didn't have to get to Jesus. Jesus got to where he was. As Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria, and there was the woman at the well. I believe Jesus comes through this last time of Jericho because he understands, he knows there's a man, Matthew tells us two men, that needed the Lord. They needed sight. They needed spiritual, physical healing in their lives, and they went about following him. Matthew says they both followed him. Mark and Luke tells us that Bartimaeus followed him. Jesus said, go your way now. Everything's fine. That's like somebody saying, just go back to where you were. We never go back the way we were. And when you meet the Lord, he makes a difference in your life. Thank God for that. So Bartimaeus was a man. He saw his need was to meet Christ. He cried out for the Christ. He saw his opportunity had arrived, and he could not remain silent. He said, now, Son of David, have mercy on me. He began to cry, and the crowd said, you need to be quiet. You're causing a stir. Well, if it had been them, they'd have caused a stir. If they'd had the same need that he had, they'd have caused a stir along with him. And so they tell him to be quiet, and he cries out the more. Because he would not remain silent. This is his time. This is his time of mercy and grace. As I said a while ago, this not only could have been his last time, it would have been, because Jesus did not pass through Jericho ever again. And here this man, he says, have mercy on me. He saw it was better to follow the Lord than to follow his own way. Jesus said, go thy way. And he followed the Lord. It's always better to follow the Lord's way than it is to follow my way. It's always better to say, thy will be done, not mine. That's, if Jesus could pray that prayer, my goodness, how much more I need to pray it. Thy will be done. This morning, of all of us in here this day, I wonder, I wish we had the time to hear the testimonies again of how we were blind and now we see. How that we were in darkness and now we're in light. Darkness is always depicted as evil. Light is always depicted as good. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And we see the light of the world enter into our lives through our eye gate. That which God has given us whereby we can see. Old Bartimaeus, he followed Jesus in the way. Everywhere Jesus went, you're going to find Bartimaeus. I'm sure maybe he had questions like that other blind man that we studied in Sunday school this morning. How did that happen? We know you were blind. We can't deny that. He said, I don't know all the details, but I know I was blind. But now I see. Praise the Lord this morning. I know I was lost, and one day I was found. I knew I was headed to a devil's hell, and thank God he put me in his way, following him. And one day, one of these days, somewhere down in the future, his way will end us at the very place called heaven. He's gone to make us a place, and we're going to be there with him through all eternity. And we're going to be so thankful that one day I was that blind man or that blind woman that sat by the wayside of life, and thank God Jesus passed by. Years ago, the song written, When Jesus Passed By. What a difference he makes. Every one of us this morning, we could list a whole lot of differences because one day Jesus passed by and we cried out, O thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Praise the Lord, it changes lives. Now we're on his way. On our way to heaven, the joy of the Lord in our heart, and singing the praises of God to a world that would hear. Let's stand this morning. Blind Bartimaeus, the man that
could not see, but he realized his need.